Now, the hymns of the Vedas were sung in ritual actions to invoke and to praise the gods, who were known in the classical Indian traditions as devas, a word that is cognate, it's related to our word divine, to deus, theos, and to all of the words in the European languages that are derived from that basic root. Many of these gods are also closely related as individuals to the gods of classical Greek and Latin mythology. The Vedic god Dyaus, for example, who is a great god of the heavens, is related to Zeus. The god of rain is known as Indra, the god of rain and the thunderstorm, like Thor, I suppose, in Nordic mythology. And the god of fire is called Agni, which is cognate with our word ignite. So these gods are really part of a recognizable pantheon of deities that has a history in European civilization as well. The hymns of the Veda were sung by the priests or the Brahmins as part of a complex sacrificial ritual, which the Brahmins moved from site to site very often, establishing temporary altars constructed according to a very careful plan, built fires, made ritual sacrifices usually of plant materials of one sort or another, but in some cases also of animals, in order to invoke the aid of the gods. And as they did this, they used these hymns to touch the power of the gods and to make the gods present in their sacrifice. These sacrifices still go on today in India, as the Vedas are still chanted today in India, and they are, in a sense, the core identity of the Brahmin caste in India, because the Brahmins really are this ancient priestly caste that was at one time, and in many respects still today, the custodians of the great religious traditions of ancient India. Now, one of the last hymns in the Vedic collection posed what I like to think of as the classic Vedic question, a question that really troubled these Brahmins as they thought, puzzled over the meaning of their sacrifice and tried to find ways to make it more powerful and to connect it more deeply to the realities that they were attempting in some way to touch. Let me paraphrase this hymn a bit, or at least some portions of it, so that you can get an impression of the content of these hymns and also begin to feel the force of the Vedic question. There was then neither non-existence nor existence. There was no sky, there were no heavens. What was it that covered everything? What was its protection? Was there a bottomless depth of waters? There was neither death nor immortality then, neither day nor night. The one breathed, though uninspired by breath, by its own potentiality. Beside it, nothing existed. Who is there who knows? Who knows? Who can tell its origin? Who can tell the source of this creation? The gods are on the far side of the creation. Who knows then where it came from and how it came into being? Where this creation came from and how it came into being, perhaps the highest overseer in heaven knows, or perhaps even he doesn't know. This is hymn number 129 from the 10th book of the Rig Veda, one of the late hymns in this early Vedic corpus. Now you can see, if you listen carefully to the words of this hymn, that these early priests are asking questions about the origins of the world, clearly, about where it all came from, where the diversity of the world first arose. And the questions are taking them, this is what's in some ways curious for us in the Western world as we first hear these words. The questions are taking them beyond the gods.